Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Hi, I'm Father Cedric Pazegna, the host of Live with Passion. I'm so glad you tuned into the program. I want to talk to you about God's first language. The reading comes from 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah the prophet came to a cave on Mount Sinai, and he stayed there. And as he stayed upon the mountain, behold, the Lord passed by. Suddenly, there was a great strong wind that rent the mountains, broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a still small voice, a tiny whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped up his face in his mantle, and he went out and he stood at the entrance of the cave. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I grew up in the 70s, there was a R&B band, a rock group called Earth, Wind, and Fire. Maybe they took their name from that reading, I'm not sure. Pulsating music, lights, trumpets, people loved to dance to their music. It was exciting. It caused a great celebration. And oftentimes we think that prayer ought to be like that, earth, wind, and fire. But I love what it said in the reading. The Lord was not in the earthquake, wasn't in the fire, wasn't in the wind, but it was in a still small voice, a tiny whisper. See, prayer, we want prayer to be so exciting, and sometimes it is. There's this great manifestation from God and this great anointing and sometimes the power and the glory. But most times, let's face it, oftentimes it's ordinary, bland, and sometimes even boring. But I want you to understand, this is what St. John of the Cross said, God's first language is silence. And I always tell people, don't be scandalized by silence when nothing seems to be happening. Silence is the language of love. There was an inscription, a Swiss inscription, speech is of time, silence is of eternity. And I love that. When I was in the novitiate years ago, there were 8 of us students. We were going to go on a 5-day silent retreat. And I remember one of my classmates, one of the students, he was all agitated and discombobulated and very upset because he was afraid of silence. He didn't want to go on a 5-day silent retreat because he didn't know what was going to happen inside of him. He was afraid to look within. He was afraid of silence. And I want to tell you, don't be afraid of silence. Get comfortable with silence. Because as I said, silence is the language of love. Silence is the atmosphere by which we can concentrate and focus and actually hear the still small voice. I'm an avid golfer, love to play golf. Golf is one sport that demands silence. You'll notice with golfers, you can have thousands of people in an amphitheater around a golf course or around a putting green, and you can hear a pin drop because the golfer needs silence to be able to focus, to be able to concentrate, and to be able to think. And I think that that's the way it is in prayer too. We need silence, we need quiet. Come to the quiet so that we can focus, so that we can think, so that we can concentrate on God's voice. John Michael Talbot is a friend of mine. He was a great singer, produced all this beautiful music. He's also an author and a preacher. Good friend of mine, as I said, and he produced a song long ago that's one of my favorites. It's called Come to the Quiet. And a couple of the words of that say, I have stilled my soul like a child at rest on his mother's lap. And that's what prayer is in many ways. We still our soul. We come to rest. We open ourselves up to concentrate, to focus, to think. Quiet is such a beautiful thing. I live in a religious community here in Houston. We're in our chapel here where we pray and celebrate Mass. And we have meals together, we live together, we minister together in many different ways. And during our meals, it's talk, 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 talk. There's eight of us. You know, we're all sharing all these different experiences. And sometimes we talk about the past and the news and different things that are going on. Right at the end of meals, somebody taps the glass and everybody gets quiet. And what that person does when he taps the glass, he says, "Presence of God." And all of a sudden, we just stop talking, we get quiet, and we remember, we focus. We're in the presence of God. Right now, as you watch this program, God is present to you. And I want to help you to learn God's first language. That's what St. John of the Cross said. And that first language is silence. It's quiet. So that you can focus and hear the voice of God. The tiny whisper. I love prayer. I have dedicated myself to prayer. And I crave quiet. I love silence. One of the places where I minister is to people in prison, and I do this through television. My programs through TBN go into the prisons, and I get letters from prisoners, people in prison, and they say that one of the hardest things about being in prison is the noise. Think about that. You know, you can't always sleep, you can't always pray because there's all this clanging and yelling and things going on in prison. And it's the same way in life. There's a lot of noise, airplanes and trash trucks, hammering, saws, blowers, you know, all these different things. But yet in the midst of it all, we must try to carve out some time to be quiet. Make some time to hear the still small voice. And don't be scandalized when you don't sense anything happening. Maybe there will be distractions, maybe there will be noise. But if you just quiet yourself, I believe that God will speak to you too. Like Elijah, you will be able to hear the still small voice. One time I remember I made a trip to Washington, D.C., saw the Smithsonian, the White House, the cherry blossoms. One place that I went to, and I was very surprised at what happened there, was the Library of Congress. And I went into the Library of Congress and I was struck by the volumes and the volumes of books everywhere, you know, by all these different authors. And I thought about how the intellect of the world is all gathered here. And as I looked around and sensed everything, all of a sudden I was struck by this profound silence. And I thought to myself, you know what? This place is holy. I sense the presence of God there, even though it wasn't a chapel. Even though it wasn't a church per se, it was a library, but I sensed the presence of God there in the silence at the gathering of this huge intellect of the human race. So any place can be a chapel, could be a library, could be a forest, it could be a church, it could be your own bedroom. As long as you invite God in, spend some time getting focused, spend some time in silence. Don't be scandalized by it. Embrace the moment. Allow God to touch you in it. I remember one time I went to a monastery, and that was in just south of Louisville, Kentucky. We Passionists, we have a monastery in Louisville, and just south of there is a place called Gethsemane, Kentucky. It's about an hour drive south. And in Gethsemane, Kentucky, there's another monastery. It's a Trappist monastery, Cistercians. They are a group of people, a religious community, that gathers and lives together in a cloistered community, and they gather in prayer. This particular community in Gethsemane, Kentucky, was where the famous monk, the famous priest, Thomas Merton, Father Thomas Merton, lived. So one day I took the drive down from Louisville down to Gethsemane, and I wanted to see the abbey, and I went to it. And I was struck, first of all, as I walked into the abbey, there must be about 30 monks that live there, maybe 20, 30. And I was struck right away by this etching into the concrete, and it said, "God alone." You see, these monks forsake the world. They live in one place. And their main apostolate is prayer. That's what they do. They live in community, they live in silence, and they pray together. So for 3 hours, I spent time there in the chapel, just walking the grounds, seeing the cemetery where Thomas Merton was buried. And as I spent time in silence, I was struck by the call to go within. Interior solitude, it's called. I was struck with, I'm more than just this world, that I need to go within and look within and find myself within. Those 3 hours were such a blessing to me. And I got quiet. And I noticed something as I was there. I was really struck by the anointing of God in that solitude, in that silence. I noticed that I had a peace that I didn't have when I came to the Abbey. And the only words to describe it were from the Bible, Isaiah 66, peace will flow like a river. And I thought to myself, wow, as I got quiet here, God has been working in me. I sense a real peace. And as I drove away from the Abbey that day, I said, something really happened here, because normally, you know, I'm a type A personality and I'm always in a hurry and I like to go really fast. I was driving under the speed limit and I was not even in a hurry. And I said, wow, I've been touched by God. I mean, I'm not even in a hurry here. Peace will flow like a river. And that's one of the benefits of silence. That's one of the benefits of prayer. Hopefully you will sense peace. I love this verse from Isaiah 30, 15. In quietness and trust shall be your strength. Not in fast-paced living, not in being in a hurry, not in accomplishing and getting things done. In quietness, in peace, in trust shall be your strength. Oh, there's a great strength in focusing on God. There's a great strength in getting quiet. I want to challenge you to do something. Every day, just take a deep breath and let it out. And then just for 1 minute, I'm not asking for 5 or 10 or 15, just 1 minute, get centered. Get quiet. Don't look at the TV or the phone or anything else. Just close your eyes and for 1 minute, get quiet and get centered. I went on a retreat recently to prepare for all these talks. And I spent 7 days in solitude and in quiet. And it was wonderful. And when I came off that retreat, I felt so much stronger. And centered is the word that I used. Things don't annoy me that much. Things don't make me feel discombobulated. I've got a new inner strength, and it's all born of silence. In quietness, in trust shall be your strength, says the Lord. Now, maybe you can't go on a 7-day retreat, but you can go on a 1-minute retreat right where you are and just focus deep within. Just focus, concentrate, think a little bit, get quiet, and center in on the Lord. That's one of the things that I do on my parish missions. I try to get people focused and centered. Sometimes I'll have 500 people or more out in the church. And what I have them do is like I say, okay, everybody stand up because you're going to be sitting for a while and I'm going to be preaching for a good 45 minutes. I just want you to stretch a little bit and take a deep breath in and let it out. You know, it's kind of like Zumba, you know, when you're exercising, you know, the calisthenics and the dancing and everything. I just want them to move a little bit. And then what I say is, okay, take a deep breath in, deep breath out. All right, relax. I don't want you falling asleep, but most of all, I want you to just get in touch with your body, get in touch with God's presence. Everybody have a seat. And everybody is much more aware and ready to go. And in the same way, I want you to just relax. You know, let your heartbeat slow down a little bit. Take that deep breath. Move a little bit. You know, we live in such a world of stress and anxiety, and there's things that come against us. And what we need to do is combat that through silence, through getting centered. Remember, in quietness and trust, trust in God. That shall be your strength. And we all need such strength. Now, I told you that I'm a type A personality. And I like to go fast. I'm always in a hurry and I want to just get there. One time I was going to play golf, and I love to go play golf because it's quiet on the course and everything. I'm going to play golf, and all of a sudden, I look in my rear view. There are blue lights flashing in my rear view mirror. And I pull over and the policeman comes up to my window And he says, sir, you were speeding. Why were you speeding? And I'm thinking to myself, honesty is the best policy. Just tell him the truth and maybe he'll let you off. And I said, officer, I was going to play golf and I just wanted to get there so that I could enjoy myself. He goes, well, thanks for telling me the truth. I appreciate that. But I got to give you a ticket anyway. And I go, oh, well, at least I tried. So he comes back to me and I'll never forget what he said. He says, sir, here's your ticket. And from now on, slow down. And that's what I want to say to you. From now on, don't be in such a hurry. Don't be all bent out of shape. Don't be all frazzled by life. Slow down. I used to play this song on my parish missions. I'd have 500-600 people out there in a church. And I would put this song on by a man named Chuck Gerard. And the name of the song was simply called Slow Down, and I would play it over the sound system. Some of the words are, in the midst of my confusion, in the time of desperate need, when I'm thinking not too clearly, a gentle voice does intercede. Slow down, be still. You have not lived until you've seen 600 people in a church that don't cough and you can hear a pin drop. And you sense the anointing of God moving, just like right now, the anointing of God moving through this program to help you to relax and to slow down. Be still and know that God is God. On my desk, I have a little sign that I have right there on my desk. I really love this. And it says, be still and know that I am God. That comes from Psalm 46:10. And it reminds me every once in a while during the course of my day, no matter what I'm going through or what I'm thinking, every once in a while to practice the presence of God and to just simply be still. Remember, silence is God's first language. He speaks in the silence. Don't be scandalized by it. Get comfortable with it. I don't know if you've ever seen this poster, but it goes like this. Be still and know that I am God. Then underneath it says, be still and know that I am. Underneath that, be still and know. Then underneath, be still. And then lastly, be. And that's what prayer is. It may not be real exciting all the time, and you may not feel the wind and the fire and the earthquake, but you're honoring God by giving God time, by being still, by seeking Him in the silence. Remember, silence is God's first language. I say that silence is the language of God's love. It creates an atmosphere by which you can think and concentrate and focus and hear the still small voice of God. And God comes to us in many different ways. His voice comes to us and it's always positive. It's always gentle and it's always encouraging. If you get still and if you seek the quiet, it will create an atmosphere by which you will hear God tell you, I love you. And other times you will hear, I am with you. And sometimes you will hear, you have a great future and a wonderful hope. And I have plans for you, says the Lord. As you read the scriptures in quiet, you'll hear God speaking to you. So don't be afraid of silence, or don't be afraid even when you don't hear God's voice. Just the silence itself will make you susceptible to hearing God's voice later on. Because God's voice comes to us through creation. And it comes to us through people, comes to us through television programs, through music, through statues, in a plethora of different ways God's voice speaks to us. I don't know if you've ever seen that advertisement on TV years ago. RCA had this advertisement where it showed a phonograph with a big speaker, and in front of the phonograph was a dog. Actually, the dog was a terrier named Nipper. And the dog was looking at the phonograph like, and underneath was the caption, his master's voice. Because what was happening was he was hearing his master's voice coming from the phonograph. And the dog couldn't understand how he could hear his master's voice coming from a phonograph. And many people don't understand how you can hear God's voice coming from creation and from your husband or wife or from all kinds of different things, statues and music and the Bible and your conscience and preaching on television. See, God's voice comes to us through not just a phonograph, but in all kinds of different ways. And in the Old Testament, I remember there was that scene where Balaam, the prophet, was riding a donkey. And as he's riding the donkey, all of a sudden the donkey turned around and God spoke to him through the donkey. And if God can speak to you through a donkey, he can speak to you through your husband or wife or even your boss. He can speak to you through television programs. He can certainly speak to you in the silence. So don't be afraid of quiet. You can hear your master's voice. And one time I remember I was at a community function. It was a dinner. There was about 100 people there, all kinds of noise and different things. And I just sat down. I sat down next to a man that I hadn't met before and shook his hand. I said, "Hey, I'm Father Cedric. Nice to meet you." And he goes, "I know who you are." I go, "How do you know who I am?" He goes, "Well, years ago you came to our parish in Louisville, Kentucky, and you preached a parish mission there, and I was out in the congregation." And he said, "Father Cedric, at that time in my life, I was really struggling spiritually. My prayer life wasn't going anywhere. I felt very dry. And what you said about prayer, you said about slowing down and spending some time in silence and getting centered," he said, "that so touched me because I wasn't doing that. I was living a fast-paced and doing this and that and felt all discombobulated." And he said, "Father Cedric," these are the words that he used, he said, "your mission, that time when you preached about prayer, it was a turning point for me." Oh, I love those words, because that's what I want this program to be for you. I want it to be a turning point for you in your spiritual life. He said, "It was a turning point for me because I didn't know God at that time in my life, but since I heard you and I came to realize that not to be scandalized in silence, I've come to know God in a deep personal way, and I've never been the same since." And I love to hear stories like that. That is the purpose of my program, Live with Passion. I am trying to help you to live a prayer life with passion. I'm trying to revive your spiritual life and get you closer to God. And one of the great secrets that I've found in my own personal life is that I must every day spend time in solitude, in quiet, getting centered, in silence. I'm not scandalized if I don't hear the voice of God every day, because I know God is there. Remember, in quietness and trust shall be your strength. So I trust God is there. It's just a matter of me carving out time every day, getting focused, concentrating, getting centered. Just like when I went to the Library of Congress that time. You know, a library is a place where, you know, the librarian, shh, they'll quiet you down. Why? So that people can concentrate, so that people can study, people can focus, people can think. Just spend time thinking. You know, you don't have to have the TV leading you in your thought life all the time. Get everything off. Put the iPhone away for a while. Just think. So I want to challenge you, as I said before, to make prayer and silence the foundation of your life. When I worked with my dad as a carpenter, my dad was a carpenter when I was growing up and when I was a teenager, we used to go and we'd start the job. Maybe we'd be building a house or a garage. And the first thing he would do, we would make the foundation. And I remember my dad was so meticulous about this. We'd have these instruments, these surveying tools, and he was so meticulous about measuring it and getting it right. And we'd be working all morning on just trying to set up the foundation. I'd be like, "Dad, come on, I want to go to lunch. I'm getting hungry and everything." But Dad would say, no, we got to get this right." And he was meticulous, scrupulous about getting this right. Why? Because the foundation was extremely important. If the foundation was out of whack, the whole building would be out of whack. Similarly, in our spiritual life, you must have silence and contemplation and quietness as the foundation of your life. Otherwise, you're going to be discombobulated in your life. Little things are going to drive you crazy. But in quietness and trust shall be your strength. I want to keep drilling that into you from the prophet Isaiah. It's when you get quiet. So I'm going to challenge you. 1 minute. Would you just do that? Maybe after the program's over, just for 1 minute, be quiet. It may seem like a long time, but it's not that long. Just 1 minute. You can do it. And do it every day. Do it many times during the course of the day. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to want to do more than 1 minute. Maybe you'll spend 5 minutes or 8 minutes. Maybe you'll progress to 15 minutes. And you'll find God directing you, speaking to you in your life. It's wonderful when you do that. So just spend a little bit of time in quiet, just a minute or so. I think that will really help you. And then you're going to discover that a flow of grace develops. I liken it to like an umbilical cord. You know how a mother and a child are connected? Nutrients and moisture and liquids flow from that umbilical cord to the little baby. Same way with prayer. You will sense a flow of wisdom, of grace, of strength as you get quiet. So don't necessarily look for the earthquake and the wind and the fire. You may get that, and I hope you do, and I love it when it comes, the manifestation of God, the pulsating grace. Most of the time, prayer is quite ordinary, bland, and sometimes even boring, but God is looking for your faithfulness. In quietness, in trust, will be your strength. Remember, silence is God's first language. Silence is the language of love. Don't be scandalized by it. Get comfortable with it and embrace it. And don't just live, live with passion. In quietness and trust shall be your strength. Don't be afraid of silence. Silence is the language of love. It's God's first language, and I believe He'll speak to you. I just went on a retreat before I taped these programs, and one of the highlights of my retreat was reading a book by Father Henri Nouwen. It was called Here and Now. And I remember I was touched by God. I was reading. See, God speaks through books. I got this letter in the mail from a person in prison. I said, Father Cedric, I was looking for a book, good book to read, and I found your book on change. It's a book that I'll never forget, he said. And then he said this, and this really touched me. What I want to say to you, Father, your books have been a big part of my rehabilitation. Can you imagine? Here in prison. And he said, it's strengthened my faith. And I said, wow, that is so true. You see, when you read good religious books, good spiritual books, God will speak through that. And I've written 20 different books. If you buy them all, they're half price. But I really want to try to impress upon you that book, A Retreat with Father Cedric. That book, A Retreat with Father Cedric, will help you to make your own personal retreat right in your own home. All my books are just $15. Call that number. Write me at that address. It's just $15, and it will help you in your spiritual life. To find silence, and more to find silence, more than that, to hear the voice of God. I'm so grateful that you tuned into the program. Thank you for your support, and don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.